T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Mark Reardon, second hour of coverage. Brad Young is in the studio with me this evening. Former Senator John Lamping, Ryan Wiggins, with some details on some vote totals this evening.
We are calling our first race here, at least the New York Times is, and I want to report this properly. So I want to say this, right, so there's no confusion. They are calling the race for Schmidt. Now, it's the Kansas governor whose last name happens to be Schmidt. But, and so clearly I reported that well. Now you understand.
But that guy's the AG in Kansas, right?
Good question.
He's also the AG, yeah. I think, isn't he? Yeah.
John Lamping knows.
Yeah.
He is. There was pretty much no question here, right, John? I mean, he was heavily favored to win. So
Yeah. They have a Democratic governor now. So Governor Kelly's a sitting governor. And now the hard part begins for Attorney General Derek Schmidt with a T.
First name sounds similar too, doesn't it? Derek Schmidt.
We have Maria Keenan from the KMOX side at the St. Louis County Election Headquarters with some early numbers this evening. Hi, Maria. How are you? What can you share with us?
Hey, good, Mark. How are you?
We're good. We're just waiting on totals.
Yeah, well, ballots are still coming in to St. Louis County Election Board out here at Northwest Plaza. And so far what we have are just absentee ballots. And Eric Schmidt has 49% of the vote. Vicki Hartzler, just over 20%. Eric Greitens, 16%. And Mark McCloskey, at 3.72%. Again, these are absentee ballots that have been counted. For Trudy Bush Valentine, it's at 54.93%. And on the Democratic side, the other one for first congressional, Cori Bush, has 63%, almost 64%. In the county executive race right now, Dr. Page has 67% of the vote, with Jane Duker at 32%. This is interesting. Shmed Dogan has 41%, but Catherine Penner has 58% in the county executive race.
I find
race.
That interesting as well, because that would be deemed a race that shouldn't even be close, and the guy that is supposed to be the likely nominee for the Republicans in the county executive race is losing. Now, granted, these are early numbers, but that seems really weird.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people were shocked by that, because you didn't see a lot of advertising by Penner either.
No.
And I know we had her on the KMOX side when we were interviewing all the candidates. But yeah, she's got a pretty substantial lead. But again, just absentee ballot votes. And just for some color for you, there were some problems at a couple of polling places, actually four polling places. The Natural Bridge Library, they had a brawl of 40 people that broke out a few hours ago.
Oh, really?
Wow. Do we have video of that?
We have video. I want to see that for sure.
Everybody, we're all clamoring for that video, and so far nobody has it. The other thing is, and that was between voters, you know, different candidates, vote supporters. Jennings at the St. Louis County, they were called in because outside, right now, two candidates, as we understand it, tried to run each other over. We do not know who those two candidates were.
Were they named Eric? By any chance?
And called in for that.
Oh, my.
And then in University City, one person threatened to kill another candidate. University City police were also called in. We don't know of any arrests with this. And in Hazelwood Central at the voting poll there, a campaign supporter was not letting voters in. They called police. It started out with four, and then it was down to one. It sounds like one of those people might have been deterred or maybe taken into custody. And then in Ferguson at the JFK Community Center, two supporters or threatening each other. So that's what we have so far from St. Louis County election.
So if I hear you correctly, we have more of a crime update on the vote total than we do the actual vote total, Maria, right? Just confirming this evening?
And this is unusual because St. Louis County normally doesn't have issues like this at their polling places. So this is a little out of the ordinary. Rick Stream, the Republican director of elections out here at St. Louis County, we got this update from him just about 25-30 minutes ago.
Is there, and I know this is a hard thing for them to pin down, but do they give any kind of timeline of when maybe things might be final this evening? Any expectation there?
No, we have not been given a time yet, but I can tell you.
I thought I'd ask anyway.
Ballots are still coming in.
Right.
I'm watching them now. They're bringing in the ballots. So obviously you still have quite a few polls that are polling places that haven't brought in their ballots yet.
But Maria, are you seeing any additional brawling going on?
Yeah.
No, it's all quiet out
here.
In Northwest Plaza. So far, no problems out here.
All right, Maria.
It sounds like those were brought under control pretty quickly anyhow. So
keep us posted on anything, whether it's vote totals or more brawling. We'll get you back on as soon as possible. So thank you.
All right,
that's Maria Keener from the KMOX side. She's going to help us out tonight. We have Annie Fry out at Eric Schmidt's headquarters. Mark Cox is with the Greitens team. Ryan is in the studio. Brad Young, former Senator John Lamping, the Senate vote totals right now. Eric Schmidt with 40%, 28% for Vicky Hartzler. Greitens trailing in third at 17.5%. Billy Long in fourth. But that's with only 6% of the vote counted. Typically, I've covered a fair amount of election nights, and you see these low vote totals, and then all of a sudden a big chunk of votes come in, and you start to see the picture emerge a little bit more clearly. And sometimes these numbers change, too, as I would expect would change in the Shamet Dogan primary for St. Louis County executive. Any other early observations you guys are seeing out there right now?
I would say, just looking at the Democrat side for Senate, I'm a little bit surprised because what looks like the results that have come in, of course, we're talking about really early results here, 6% in, but Trudy Bush Valentine is ahead by nearly, not quite double, what Lucas Kuntz has. And these are districts that are closer to the cities. So we're talking about a district that's close to Kansas City and then close to St. Louis. So I would have thought that you'd see him run up totals a little bit more in the heavily populated areas and her win more of the rural vote. But so far, that's not the case. Of course, very, very early.
If Trudy Bush Valentine wins that handily, that just basically says all the money worked, right, John?
That's all it would be.
He's got a good resume. He's a good candidate for a Democrat, granted. But, I mean, she's a terrible candidate, and she's smoking him right now.
Well, there's an interesting twist here in that Lucas Kuntz is the progressive in the race. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's super, super progressive and understands all those issues. But then when you came to St. Louis and Kansas City, the super, super progressive mayor in St. Louis and super, super progressive county executive endorsed Trudy Bush Valentine. So you would think that in the city, those voters would be voting for Kuntz. But they're the leaders of the party, the progressive party in the cities, supporting the opposition. I'll tell you what, though, Ryan, I think that if Trudy Bush is going to win this thing, she better win St. Louis by 65%. If she only comes out of St. Louis area with 55% of the vote, that's not good because his home base is...
It's early.
It's early.
Very, very early. Yeah. So we just have to emphasize, we're talking about 6% of the vote in the Senate race. And then if you're looking at St. Louis County right now, as Marie indicated, if you're looking at the county executive's race, Jane is trailing by 67 to 32%. So Sam is essentially doubling her up on votes right now. Catherine Pinner somehow has the lead over Shamet Dogan currently. We're going to go back out to the Eric Schmidt campaign headquarters. Annie Fry from all the way in Illinois. She took a chopper, I think, to these headquarters in order to head back to get some sleep with those kids tonight. Are they pretty quiet still? I mean, these votes are coming in very slowly, Annie.
Yeah, you know, we are watching. Fox News is up on the big screens here surrounding the stage they have set up for Eric Schmidt to come, where they anticipate that he will be claiming victory soon. But the votes aren't in yet. They haven't been called, certainly. But I got to tell you, the buzz in this room right now is pretty exciting. It's pretty hopeful. I would say that the people here are asking themselves when, not if, and they feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I think there has been a lot of confidence. There was confusion. I think we would all admit there's confusion yesterday. But when you get a call from the president as well, you got to lay claim to that endorsement, which he did.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, I understand a lot of people are like, why are they both claiming it? Well, of course they are. They're not gonna miss that opportunity in the last 24 hours of the campaign cycle when you're doing everything you can possibly do to make sure that you leave it all out there on the field. They did what they have to do. They both took the endorsement that Trump gave both of them, and they went with it. I don't blame them for it. And I think that Donald Trump, in the end tonight, is going to be able to lay claim to a victory one way or the other.
Yeah, I think he made it rather easy on himself. We were just talking about the Democrat side of the table right now. Trudy Bush Valentine seemingly has a little bit of a margin over Lucas Kuntz, but it's very early. Do you think either of those make any kind of effort to narrow this gap between, say, Eric Schmidt, if he's the nominee, and themselves in the fall? Obviously, there's going to be a lot of Democrats. We're watching this Kansas initiative as well. And right now, the pro-choice side of the abortion initiative is working in Kansas. And it's actually, the numbers are relatively staggering. So if that ends up being a pro-choice vote, that's something that Democrats are going to try to move to their campaigns, including probably this Senate race here in Missouri, Annie.
Yeah, you know, I would say that the Democrats watching this Senate race are going to be watching the Republican race as much, even almost, if not more, watching what happens in the Republican side, because the Democrats running a campaign against Eric Schmidt versus the Democrats running a campaign against Eric Reitens, there's a whole different ballgame there. You mentioned it earlier. What the Republicans are going to have to do as a party to invest in a campaign in Missouri, depending on if Schmidt or Greitens win, huge difference in those numbers, which really changes the lay of the land for the Democrats. And social issues is what it's going to come down to for the Democratic Party. They certainly can't run on Biden administration policy. It hasn't been good for anybody in this country, blue or red. The social issues is where they will try to make some hay, and they might be successful in doing it.
Any reaction to that, John Lamping or Brad Young?
Well, I've been watching this Kansas vote, too, and there's with 24% of the vote in on the pro-life ballot initiative in Kansas. The no vote, which is the pro-choice vote, has got 65%. The yes vote, which is pro-life, is only at 34%. So if these trends continue, 24%, not a lot, but it is significant. If these trends continue, I promise you that this will be highlighted by the mainstream media
as
a backlash against the Supreme Court. I've got some more analysis as this show unfolds about how the public views the Supreme Court decision, but clearly that's how this will be spun.
Well, and I wonder, you know, this is going to be something I'm sure it will get a lot of national attention if it does end up where the no is the winner in Kansas. But I also think that that's maybe, I don't know, because I don't know the specifics of that campaign, but it's been said by many people that the language is confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
Supposing if you're in Kansas, you've been pounded with ads over which is the right side, you wouldn't be confused.
Right.
Going into
the
ballot box.
If I may just jump in on that issue too, like the whole abortion issue as a whole, it is incredibly confusing. And political consultants know how to speak on this issue, how to use the buzzwords to drum up their base to stand by probably a pretty extreme version. You know, I'm incredibly pro-life. If people listen to my show, Noon to 3 on 97.1, they know that. But the way that we talk about this issue doesn't reflect the way the majority of Americans feel on this issue. Americans as a whole are pretty moderate on this issue, but that's never where the conversation is. And in a primary where you have your most engaged voters coming out, this issue is not settled on party lines yet. There are pro-life Democrats, there are pro-choice Republicans, and the vocabulary surrounding it, in my opinion, meant to be confusing so that the politicos can continue to use it as a crutch in elections, just like we're coming up, where people know they're paying extraordinary prices at the gas pump, paying high prices at the grocery store. The Democrats have to distract from that. They'll be successful in doing that in some places.
Well, you're following the candidate that's racking up some pretty big numbers here. Even though we got 5% of the vote in, he leads 46-21%. Eric Reitens is in third place. Annie, hang on out there. We're going to check back with you. Mark Cox is with Eric Reitens. I don't think they're going to be too happy about the early vote totals.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We'll continue in a moment on 97.1 FM Talk. Primary election night coverage on 97.1 FM Talk. This is Mark Reardon. I am joined in the studio by former Senator John Lamping. Brad Young is with us as well. Looking at the numbers, early numbers in the Senate race on the Republican side, it looks like Eric Schmidt has the lead right now, 42% to 24%. It's Vicky Hartzler in second, Eric Greitens in third. It's Mark Cox at the Eric Greitens headquarters joining us before he heads to bed to get up early in the morning. What are you finding out there?
Well, the place is starting to fill up a little bit, actually. You know, there's quite a bit of enthusiasm out here. What's the percentage that's been reported so far, Mark?
41,383 to 24,456 for Hartzler to Greitens 19,000. So basically, Schmidt has him doubled up at this point. But we don't know where the numbers are coming from. John, do we have an indication of where these early totals are coming from?
Yeah, the statewide stuff is still trickling in. But here's I just saw this on St. Charles County website. It's better. So that's a really important part of tonight's vote. And with 23% of the total vote in St. Charles County in, Schmidt's got 55%, and Hartzler and Greitens both have 17%. So if that holds up, that's a big...
He would have to perform a lot better than that in St. Charles County to win statewide, wouldn't he?
No. If Schmidt can take 55...
No, I'm talking about Greitens.
Oh, yeah. No. This is blowout numbers. I mean, 55%, right. 55% to 17 of the other two his opponents in St. Charles. That's what 26% of the precinct in. And, you know, St. Charles County is one of those counties where the vote is dispersed. It's evenly spread. There's not, like, concentrated areas of certain types of voters. It's pretty even across the whole spectrum. So I think with 23% of the vote in, that's a pretty good indication of the success that Schmidt's probably going to have on this side of the state.
You know, I just last night when the tweet came out about the Eric endorsement, I reached out to Eric McElroy, the third Eric in the race, right? Because I wanted to get him on the radio show this morning. And I had to reach out on Messenger because there was no other contact information available. I just heard back from him 3 minutes ago before I was waiting on hold for you guys. A message came across from Eric McElroy wanting to know what time would be good for me. Well, it's a little late now.
Well, he's down in Mar-a-Lago, you know. He's having a good time.
That's true. I saw where he's only got 236 votes so far.
It was Michael Hafner from Hartzler's campaign that tweeted out the official statement on President Trump's Missouri Senate endorsement that said, "Congrats to Eric McElroy. He's having a big night." I kind of thought that was funny. I thought that was
very
a good
funny.
Tweet. Absolutely.
Well, the other thing in St. Charles County, yeah. Nick Schroer, with 25% of the vote in, Schroer's leading 56% to 43%. But I'll look at the precinct level. That's more important. It'll be important to see where the base of support's coming from.
We did have some early numbers from District 22. That's in Jefferson County. The race between Jeff Rorta, Mary Elizabeth Coleman, Shane Roden, and Dan Shaw. Pretty tight overall. Mary Elizabeth Coleman with a slight lead there. But again, those numbers are very, very early, 35 to 26%. But that one is seen as a nail biter. Mark, anything else you're really curious about as we go through the evening?
No, it's not unusual, as I've covered many, many of these election night events over the years, to not see hide nor hair of the candidate until later in the evening when they're either closer to, conceding or coming out to give a victory speech. Nobody's seen Eric Greitens here. I have not even seen any of the senior campaign staff so far. So I don't know if he's in the building or not, but I am. And the crowd out here is pretty enthusiastic, to be honest. So maybe they know something we don't. Maybe, John, his strength in the outstate is much greater than we think. I mean, he'd need that if Schmidt is drawing 55% and that he maintains that in St. Charles County. Eric Greitens is going to have to get a huge turnout in the outstate, right?
Yeah, well, if Schmidt carries 55% of St. Louis, of St. Charles County, then it's over. I mean, that's the thing about when you watch these races, it's really important to understand where a candidate's base of support is and what their margin of victory is. Like, you know, certain people, you're going to win in your backyard. You're going to do less well across some other part of the state where somebody else's backyard. And so you shoot for a margin of victory. And, you know, the Schmidt campaign would love to take 40%, 45% of St. Charles County, 55% of St. Charles County. I think it's the second largest group of Republican primary voters, second only to St. Louis County. So
wow.
So that would be pretty impressive to see. And it's funny, I'm trying to Greitens' strength in the 2016 gubernatorial race was on the eastern side of the state, primarily south of the St. Louis area. So I'm trying to get a sense of what's going on down there. He might have to run up there. But
look here, Dave Wasserman from the Cook Political Report is already calling it for Schmidt. He's called two races. He said, I've seen enough.
I think that St. Charles County number is that percentage in St. Charles County is enough. Here, I'm looking at Jefferson County, and Jefferson County's got 46% of the vote. In Jefferson County, Greitens is 18% of the vote. Now, that's pretty disappointing for Greitens because Greitens, a lot of his like on the ground people are in Jefferson County. And then Mark, you did that event with him early on the kickoff. That was in Franklin County, wasn't it?
That was the upper edge of Franklin County.
Yeah. So anyway, that's interesting. That doesn't surprise me on that regard though. That's just such a huge number in St. Charles County.
Here's Wasserman. Dave Wasserman says, I've seen enough. Eric Schmidt wins the Missouri Senate primary, defeating Vicky Hartzler, Eric Greitens, and others. He also called the Kansas ballot issue already. Now, these guys sometimes are wrong, but essentially said, and this is how he's starting his tweets, I've seen enough. In a huge victory for the pro-choice side, the Kansas constitutional amendment to remove protections of abortion rights fails. Now, John, you know Kansas pretty well. You lived on the Kansas City side. You think it might be a little premature looking at the breakdowns of the numbers, right?
Well, it's Johnson County's not in. Johnson County is 600,000 people. That's the biggest county by far. It's not in at all, but it's more where the moderates live. And, you know, right now the margin of victory seems to be coming out of kind of Kansas City, Kansas, Wyandotte County. But I respect, you know, the national person that knows Kansas. I don't know Kansas as well as I know Missouri, but that wouldn't surprise me. Because we were talking before about, you know, ballot initiatives. It was a very confusing ballot initiative. And when voters are confused by the language, they vote no.
You know, we might as well have a conversation about this right now, Mark, with you involved, because John and I have talked about this, especially since we've known Eric for so long and we were close with him and helped him with the governor's race. And obviously things have changed. What is the guy going to do, Lamping? I mean, if he finishes third in particular, he's not going to write another book, right? How is he going to make income, John Lamping? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I was.
It's a legitimate question.
Yeah, no, very much so. And so, you know, Eric has made really strong impressions on lots of successful people all around the country. And I know when he came out of the governor's office, I met with him, the spring thereafter, and he was working with a technology company on the West Coast and doing some consulting, some work with them. And then later on, he tried to get back into the Naval Academy. I think he'll probably leave the area, I would think. And as far as employment, he could probably reach back out into the universe of people that supported him, and they'll probably make good use of him some way, somehow.
Well, I've talked about this on the air, and one of the things that was said in the past about Eric Greitens is that the biggest, you know, Achilles heel that he had, and these were from people that knew him pretty well, John, was his ambition. And it was always about getting to the White House, which probably he was a little bit too far ahead of himself. But in this particular case, Mark Cox, you might have a different perspective, but I think there's been so much desperation on this race. He has not let himself any other paths left for professional, movement forward. I just don't see where the path is.
Well, maybe not, but what you have to say about Eric Greitens is he's somebody who has created success for himself in a couple of different industries, right? Number one, charity work after his military service, and number two, on the political side. And if that's not a path forward for him anymore, I mean, he's toyed around with the media. He obviously had his own show on Real America's Voice for a little while. I just about can't see him not having. I'll say one thing. Although he's always maintained that 24-25% support in the state, he's got some very wealthy backers who have backed his campaign.
But they're not going to back if he doesn't have a path. But if he doesn't have a path to Washington and the White House, those backers are not going to keep giving him money.
But those are all connections to whatever he decides to do next. I mean, whether you like him or not, you got to give him credit for the fact that he's got quite the track record of success when he sets his mind to something. Forget all the noise for a minute. I don't I mean, I think I would see him being extraordinarily disappointed. Obviously, it's a big blow to the ego if you put everything on the line like this, and then you come in third, for example. But I don't think that's going to keep Eric Greitens down for very long. He may not be in a public setting, but my suspicion is he'll turn his talent somewhere else, and he'll be fine.
Mark Cox will continue to check in with you this evening. Right now, it's Schmidt with 55,000 votes, 42% to Hartzler's 24.8 to Eric Greitens 19.4 to Billy Long's 3.9. So Eric Greitens right now in third place. We'll hook up with Mark and Annie Fry as we move along this evening. John, do you agree with him on that, you know, on the income front or what he does? I'll say this just from a personal perspective, because I knew Eric very well and Sheena, cared about them. I was there when, you know, when their kids were around, when my daughter was born, they were there. We had play dates. I think what he did with the Mission Continues was incredible. I think it's a great, great charity. But I worry about him personally, just because I've seen him in my mind, he's changed. That's just my perspective.
Yeah, this would be interesting. I you know, Jeff Smith, the political guy that's on your show, liberal Democrat, super liberal Democrat. Jeff, you're listening.
We're going to try to work him into
that. I tease him because he's haunted by, I say he's haunted by Eric. He's known Eric since they were like in grade school,
right,
or middle school.
Right.
And he would suggest that, you know, Eric's been singularly focused on this since he was a preteen, and his whole, everything he's done and orchestrated around, it was a path towards just, you know, being president of the United States. And if he loses tonight, I mean, it's over. Politically, it's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
Here's Billy Long. Billy Long has just tweeted, "I called Eric Schmidt and congratulated him on a big most Senate victory tonight and offered my full endorsement and cooperation going forward. Anything I can do to help and will, and on his great team, and they know that, on to November." And he said that, you know, Billy and Vicky. Well, Billy said he'd endorse anyone. Vicky said she would endorse anyone except for Greitens. I think that's what Schmidt said as well. But it looks like people are kind of moving on and accepting that Eric Schmidt is the Republican nominee for the state of Missouri, because this thing right now looks like a blowout.
Yeah, everybody has their own tea leaves. And Billy, I haven't looked down in Greene County yet. I think I'll look down at their website. And Billy probably knows what he sees down there. And he knows it's going to go the way it's going to go.
Well, and it comes out, Mark, just as we talked at the very beginning of this show, the initial numbers had Schmidt first, Hartzler second, Greitens third. You made the comment, we could be seeing the final outcome here.
Yeah.
It looks like that's really what's happening.
I wish I could stick to my guns sometimes a little bit more, because John will remember this. If you go back to March, right, this was my prediction. Everyone was saying Greitens has a chance. I said he's going to finish third. But admittedly, I backed off on that because I feel like he did have momentum as he got into the summer, and obviously he was still the best known. It doesn't surprise me, because I think this is the right decision on the part of the voters of Missouri. The right thing happened, and they saw through the guy, which is why I think Schmidt rose to the top, and Vicky's doing quite well. If Trump didn't come in and put the kibosh on her, I think her numbers would probably be a lot better than they are tonight.
Well, you know, I picked Schmidt in December at Christmas time. I picked Schmidt to win with or without the endorsement. So I guess he got half of endorsement.
Yeah.
I knew the campaign they had designed. I knew the campaign they were going to run. I knew how disciplined they would be. And the most important thing, Mark, is I knew how much money they would have access to.
Well, there was some information. Mm-hmm. We had a little bit of a pattern from Virginia as well with Glenn Youngkin, because Jeff Rowe was involved in that campaign.
Well, Jeff Rowe's won a lot of campaigns, and if you can get the money and get the funding, and you've got a target like Eric Greitens, and you can make a target out of Vicky, which is what they did, and more importantly, their opponents didn't have a response. You know, they could not respond to the negative ads. They couldn't go on the offensive. Yeah, Eric Schmidt, he's a very, very patient politician. You know, he was in the Senate. He avoided re-election. You know, he ran for re-election as a senator without unopposed, which is extraordinary. He raised $5 million to run as treasurer when nobody raises $1 million to run as treasurer. He got appointed to the attorney general's office in exchange for an endorsement of a sales tax, which he did. He's also a very calculated politician. And then he raised another $5 million to run back in 2020 when no one was even paying attention to what was going on in Missouri's statewide rate. So Eric's very, very patient. He didn't jump ahead of the line. He waited till the opening was clear and he had all the resources to bring with him. And that's what it takes, and
they
did it.
Ryan Wiggins is here. Just looking at some of the numbers from the counties, you mentioned St. Charles County, where Schmidt's running up big numbers. In Jefferson County, 42% for Schmidt. Hartzler at 20%. Greitens at 17%. So he a lot of voters turned off by the ads, the stories, the choices. Who knows what happened, but obviously this is trending in the direction that a lot of people were hoping
yep.
for.
Yep, and you guys saw the Billy Long concession yes. basically at the same time as I did, which is right when I walked in. I do want to mention, though, that there are people now calling the Michigan governor race. Now, that was an interesting one because Kevin Rinke had a whole lot of money. Tudor Dixon didn't have as much as he did, but she had Trump's endorsement, and it is looking like Tudor Dixon is going to be the nominee for Michigan
That's
governor
big.
To take on Gretchen Whitmer there.
That's big.
Just taking a look real quickly here at the St. Louis County race as well. A lot of hope that maybe Sam Page would be brought down by our friend Jane Duker. That is not looking very likely. It's 65% to 34%. I won't name who made this wager with me. You can probably take a guess at it. Someone from the roundtable bet me a dinner, and I took it, that Jane would lose by 15% or more. And I thought that that was just a huge number, but these are people who know these numbers and how they break down. And John, I don't know what your perspective is on this, but obviously you have Democrat voters in the base. They love what Sam Page has done with lockdowns and masks and, you know, keeping kids from going to school and all that. That's what they live for.
Jane's a blue dog Democrat in a party that doesn't allow blue dog Democrats anymore. That's just a fact. And what's interesting is Jane could recircle the wagons and come back as a Republican and challenge Page, and I think she probably can beat him. I also expect to see Tim Fitch come back, maybe look at that race. I know it's 4 years between we have another shot at it, but look, if a conservative Democrat like Jane, and she said yesterday, oh, there's no way I'll ever, you know, leave my party. Well, your party's left her completely.
That's right.
Completely. You know, completely. And, you know, Jeff Warder down in Jefferson County, I have an update there. He's Mary Elizabeth right now is up by about 10 points with about 20% of the vote in.
We'll keep track of that, too. Anything on the Shore race?
Last time I checked, there was 25% of the vote, and he's leading handily.
Hang in there. We're back with much more. Election night coverage, 97.1 FM Talk.
97.1 is your place for full Decision 2022 coverage. Right here, right now, on 97.1 FM Talk. Decision 2022 is sponsored by Air Comfort Service and T.R. Hughes Homes.
8:45, it's Mark Reardon, joined in the studio by Brad Young, former State Senator John Lamping. We have had several people already call the Missouri Senate race. Billy Long has conceded and congratulated Eric Schmidt, the Attorney General, for winning the race. The numbers are still relatively preliminary, but the writing seems to be on the wall. The other thing that we're kind of keeping an eye on right now is this Kansas ballot initiative on abortion. And Brad Young, this is maybe a bit of a shocker in a red state like Kansas, where the pro-choice side has run up a huge victory.
Yeah, they have. I'm looking at the numbers right now, and the pro-life position is at 33%, and the pro-choice position is at 66%. And the reason why this is important outside of the state of Kansas is that, as we talked about earlier in the show, this is going to be spun as, look what the Supreme Court decision, how it's going to motivate the left to come out and vote in November. So all the predictions about a red wave in November are false. That's going to be the narrative that we're going to hear once this is finalized. But I disagree with that, and here's the reason why. When the Supreme Court decision came out, the popularity of the Supreme Court was rumored to have plummeted. We heard that from Justice Kagan. We've heard that from the media because it was so-called out of alignment with the rest of the country. But there was a Harvard study, you know, that right-wing bastion Harvard University. They came out with a study just yesterday that showed right now the popularity of the Supreme Court is at 43%. This is after the Dobbs decision came out. And when you compare that with previous years, last year was at 40%, and before that it was below 40%. So we don't see this trend of saying the Supreme Court is awful, and if they disagree with us, we're going to go out and rally against them. We're not seeing that in the data, certainly not from the Harvard University data. And so if you're not seeing a sudden burst of outrage against the Supreme Court, I don't know that that's going to translate like the spin will be into a blue wave come November.
Yeah, I don't think it would, but that's no doubt there's going to be an effort to sort of spin it out there that way after the results tonight. Ryan Wiggins is in here with us. What do you got for us?
Well, it looks as if Real Clear Politics has officially called the race for Eric Schmidt. So it looks like Eric Schmidt is most likely going to be then the candidate going into November. Looking at the other side of the aisle, though, Trudy Bush Valentine continues to hold that lead. John, I don't know if you're watching this and where these votes are coming from right now, but now 21% of that vote in. She's got 44% of the vote, and Lucas Kuntz just 35% right now.
Yeah, I'll dig down and see where that vote's coming from. That's pretty narrow still. That's going to be the one to watch. Maybe that's going to be the late one coming in, Mark.
Yeah, you know, I guess in both these races, you could probably make the case that the people that spent the most money and raised the most money won these races, right?
Well, I think it's too early for Trudy Bush to say that. You know, I do want to say, though, what Brad said before about the Supreme Court and then this issue in Kansas, I just want to say, you know, I'm thrilled. I could not be more pro-life, and I would be disappointed if that that initiative were to go down. But the idea that states get to decide these things, it's just a wonderful thing. And you know, we talk a lot about how people are just not, they're not engaged. Well, it's hard to be engaged when all your rules and laws are coming from D.C., thousands of miles away, totally out of touch. You don't know the people that even represent you. And we're going to have an opportunity in this country the next, you know, 10, 15, 20 years to legislate and make laws and govern ourselves at the state level. And I think it's only positive for people to get more involved in politics at the state level.
Well, a lot of folks analyzing this past term at the Supreme Court want to look to the Dobbs case and say, oh, it was a pro-life decision. But really, if you look at what the Supreme Court did this year, it wasn't right or left. What it was is that we have to follow the Constitution when it comes to the separation of powers. That defines the vaccine mandate, that defines the airlines mask mandate, and it defines the Dobbs case. And that is, the Supreme Court does not make law. Congress does. And that's what the Dobbs decision was all about. It wasn't pro-life. It was pro-separation of powers.
Right. And then it returned so much power. It's also returned to federalism, too.
Exactly.
That's the best chance we have as a country for people to feel like government is working for them to understand it up close and personal.
But these numbers in Kansas, it's going to be interesting to dig down in these when the final totals are in, because it's hard for me to believe that everyone who voted for the no side of that, which is the pro-choice side, is someone who's a progressive Democrat. There are plenty of people in the middle, probably the middle right, that still voted for Republican candidates, mm-hmm. but voted no on that issue.
Well, yeah, but as John was talking about earlier, it's really a numbers game. I'm looking at the scattershot of Kansas and where the votes have been coming in on that pro-life case. And there's still large swaths of Kansas, counties in Kansas, that have not reported. But those counties tend to be lower in population. So even if they vote 90% pro-life, it's not going to be enough to overcome the Kansas City, Collar County areas where you have a lot of moderate Republicans. And so, again, it's a numbers game, but I will want to see how this shakes out at the end of the night.
So someone's called this, right? They've called the no?
Well,
Wasserman
did. Yeah, Wasserman did. It's a 50% lead, right?
This is what Kansas is different, okay? So Johnson County came in. Johnson County is the biggest county, right? And so it came in 72-28. So overall, so it's a super moderate Republican place, just happens to physically exist in the middle of the country. I mean, it's the Jayhawkers, right? I mean, come on.
Sure,
it's like,
exactly.
You know, it's like they that's just how they are, and it's I don't know the Douglas County's in yet. That's where Lawrence is from. So I'm not surprised the national guys have called it no. But again, it's great. It's federalism.
I want to talk about the St. Louis County executive race. On the Democrat side, it's Jane Duker trailing Sam Page by 63-36%. So the numbers are falling down where the political experts and consultants kind of thought that Jane would be. But the real story might be on the Republican side, where Shamed Dogan, who was a heavy favorite, is still losing to Catherine Pinner. I'll be honest, I have no idea who that is. And I have no idea how she has 17,289 votes, but she's leading Shamed Dogan right now and could be the Republican nominee. Anyone want to explain that?
You got to get her in here.
I don't know. I mean, someone's
I don't know how to reach her.
Well,
I didn't know.
Here's what I would say. Look, Shamed, I like Shamed on policy. I think he's a libertarian conservative.
Sure.
But he's a terrible candidate. He's not lighting anything on fire, let alone the world or the county on fire. So maybe Catherine Pinner can be a better candidate to take out Sam Page. I don't know. I'm genuinely asking.
Look, it's a super heavy lift. You know, it's like it's 65-35. You've got to be brilliant and fantastic as a candidate. And what's been going on all week long? People like you and I are saying, hey, Republicans, go draw a Democratic ballot and vote for Jane.
Yeah.
That doesn't make for a lot of fun as a candidate.
No, I know. That's not how. Well, I mean, you might be able to pull some people over to get yourself some votes, but you're not going to win the race that way.
No.
I think I had more people going into that race. And these are people who would like to vote in the Missouri GOP primary who said, you know what, though? It's impacted my life so much in the county that I think I may actually cross over and vote for Jane Duker more than I've ever seen before. And I'm Illinois and people are asking me that.
But Ryan, that's exactly what I did. And in my calculation, and I made the joke earlier that I took a lot of Benadryl in case I broke out in hives.
Yeah.
But my calculation on it was very simple. Again, numbers. My vote has an impact has a greater proportion of an impact on the St. Louis County executive race than it does on a statewide race. And so I thought, well, I want to put my vote where it counts and try to make an impact, but not enough Republicans could ever cross over, I don't think, to sway this election.
One of the other state Senate races that we're keeping a close eye on, Reardon Roundtable veteran Mary Elizabeth Coleman, who is a Republican state rep running for that Senate seat. She's in the lead right now with 35% of the vote. About 34% of the vote is in, and Mary Elizabeth Coleman has 35.8 to Rorta's 26.7 to Dan Shaw's 22% to Shane Roden's 15.3%. So Mary Elizabeth Coleman is holding on to a lead, although I guess you could say a little bit of a narrow. The vote total is not very high there. We're keeping an eye on that race, one of the more hotly contested races in the state. If you're just joining us right now, several people, including Real Clear Politics and Wasserman at the Cook Political Report, have already called the United States Senate race on the Republican side for Eric Schmidt. Billy Long has conceded and said he has called the Attorney General to congratulate. I don't know what the timeline might be. Here's another thing that I'm going to watch very carefully. Does Eric Greitens bow out gracefully, John?
I don't know.
Yeah.
None of us know.
Here's what I would bet. No, probably not. There's going to be some
But if he comes in third, I mean, wouldn't he?
It becomes a lot harder. I mean, if it's close, if it's first to second and there's a few thousand votes, then you go scorched earth. But if you come in third and 50% of the vote of the winning candidate, that there's just really no opportunity to challenge
that. Well, there's no opportunity, but I'm guessing he's going to try to challenge it no matter what.
Well, some could say President Trump called this race first because he said Eric would win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any truth to that.
Right now, it's 118,085 votes for Schmidt. Hartzler, 65,298.
Wow.
Greitens in third with 53,677. Billy Long way, way behind that. And apparently, we're hearing that Eric Greitens is about to speak. We're going to take a break here, and we'll see if we can bring you some of that or check in with Mark Cox. We'll keep you posted. Election night, primary election night, with some totals coming in here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.